who's the most famous person you've ever met? And while you're thinking about it, I want to interview a few of you here today. All right. So I know that may sound crazy, but I just want to, I'm going to come out here. I'm just going to come down here now. And I just want to hear about your connection with somehow the most famous person you ever met. And while you're thinking about it, I'll tell you, one of the most famous people I've ever met was Amy Grant. Now, it's not the most famous person I ever met. I don't want to tell you that person because I will be accused of being political. So, but one of the most famous people I ever met was Amy Grant. And the situation was I knew somebody who worked for the label that she was signed with at the time, and she was coming to town in a concert, and through that connection, they gave me backstage pass, and there was a meet and greet, and I got to meet Amy Grant. At that little, it was kind of weird. They had it roped off, and she was on one side with Michael W. Smith and some other people, and then this mob of other people who were just waiting in line to step up and shake hands. And it's like going to the zoo, sort of. But anyway, I got a chance to meet Amy Grant. So how many of you have met somebody famous? Just raise your hand. Okay, Jennifer, tell everybody. I already know what you're going to say. So tell everybody about the most famous person you ever met.
I met Vanilla Ice.
Dun, 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 dun. Ice, baby. Dun, 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 dun. All right, tell it how that happened.
I was on a plane coming back from London to New York, and the flight attendant came and asked me if I would like the guy's autograph that was sitting in front of me. And I said, well, I guess so, but I don't really know who it is. But it's Vanilla Ice.
So, okay, there you go. Did you get his autograph, though?
I did, and I don't know what happened to it.
All right. Huh? LaDonna, you've been requested to talk about the most famous person you ever met. Well, Lori said it. Lori, what did you say? It's on Facebook. Did you meet somebody famous on Facebook? Okay, come on, say it.
President George H. W. Bush.
All right, just former, just passed away. Yeah. All right. So you, now, see, you couldn't help it. We're turning it political. Okay. Somebody else. Somebody else. Okay. I can't hit everybody today. Is it making you nervous that I'm down here? Tell me your name, sir.
My name is Victor Hill.
Victor. And who was the most famous person you ever met?
Well, maybe he wasn't the most famous, but he was the nicest guy I ever met. I was going to a special service for Andrew Wyman.
Okay.
He's a teacher and preacher on TV.
Yeah.
Monday through Friday on the Lamb Channel at 7 o'clock p.m.
Yeah.
Give him a plug. Anyway, I was going to this church.
Yeah.
And I was in the right-hand lane. And he was in the left-hand lane. I had my signal on, and I couldn't get in the lane, so I was going to have to circle around the block to get in there. Well, he came to a complete stop.
So you got out of the car.
And waved me in front of me. And then he waved me, and then he got to the church first before I was in the front of the church outside. And he waited for me to park. He came and shook my hand. And
that's cool.
What you see on TV is what you get when you watch him on TV. He's one of the nicest person you'd ever want to meet.
Awesome. All right. Okay. Wendy, I'm gonna slip through here. Wendy, tell me one of the most famous people you ever met. Go ahead.
Okay, so for all
you can't hold the microphone. I was just grabbing my microphone. Go ahead.
For all you sports fans, many of you know that I work for Chick-fil-A.
Yeah.
And so this good-looking African-American man came in, and I said, he is a sports person. And the owner's dad said, Miss Wendy, that is Michael Irvin.
Oh, wow.
And he was just the most genuine,
down-to-earth.
He took pictures. Awesome. I met Emmitt Smith. Tom Landry, Mel Winfrow, Golden Richards, Steve Green, Marnell Harris.
Wow, Woo-hoo! Wow. All right. Oh, that reminds me of, who was it that, Emily, when you were working, she worked at Smoothie King, and somebody famous came in there all the time. Who was it?
Kirk Franklin.
How many of you know Kirk Franklin? Yeah. So, all right. Anybody else today want to you just have to share your story. No, I know, but you keep pointing at him. He's not pointing. So, Huh? Julie? Okay, Julie, we'll do one more.
I got to meet Barbara Bush when we opened our cancer center, and I told her, I said, Miss Bush, you remind me so much of my grandmother. And she said, oh, honey, I remind everyone of their grandmother.
That's awesome. Well, we meet these people, and I wonder, though, like whether it's Amy Grant or Kirk Franklin or Barbara Bush, you've had some sort of brush. They call it a brush with greatness. Most of you have had some sort of brush with greatness. And we each have those stories, whether it's Vanilla Ice. Is that a brush with greatness, really? I don't know. but today I want to talk about this topic. Do you know what I know? If you have a Bible, Psalms 139. You can hold your place in John 10. We're going to be looking at a number of scriptures here today, but those are two of the main ones that you can turn to. Psalm 139 and also John 10:10. When you talk about meeting these people, though, those of you who shared, or if you think about if your brush with greatness, if you've met somebody who is well-known and even famous, do you may have met them, you may know who they are, but do you really know them? Do they really know you? Because to really know someone, it's a two-way thing. And so, like I said, when I met Amy Grant, I just met her. I knew who she was. I'd heard her music. I'd been to see her in concert, and I knew who she was. She's pretty popular this time of year, especially because I think she's done a Christmas album every year for the last 17 years. But I know who she is. I even had an opportunity to meet her once, but I don't know her. She doesn't really know who. If she passed me on the street, she wouldn't say, "Hey, Keith, I remember meeting you back in what was it, 88?" That's not going to happen, you know, because we don't really know each other, right? I mean, you met Vanilla Ice, got his autograph, but you don't really know him, okay? You met former President George Bush, but he doesn't really know you. You don't really know him. You know who he is, or you knew who he was, but you understand what I'm saying. What I want you to understand about this today, though, is when it comes to that common answer that we hear in church, oh, Jesus is the most famous person I've ever met. Listen, you can know him because he knows you. And here's what my first point I really want to hit on today is God, listen to me, God knows you. God knows you. We've been talking about this over the last couple of weeks. God sees you and he knows who you are. He sees you, he hears you, but I also want you to know that he truly knows you. He really knows you. He may be the one person who actually knows everything about you. He may be the only person. Well, let me just say it like this. He is the only person who knows everything about you. And guess what? He still likes you. He loves you. He knows everything about you. He knows every thought in your head. He knows everything you've ever done, every word you've ever said. He knows you that intimately, and he still loves you. He still loves you. Not only does he love you, he still wants to develop a relationship with you, and he wants to spend time with you. He really knows you. Let me give you some scriptures on that. God knows you. And Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, I'm just going to do this one real quick. It says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Think about that statement. Before you were ever conceived, he knew you. Think about how supernatural that really is. Is it possible that means that not only is God eternal, but we are too? Because he knew you before you were ever conceived. He knew you. He knows you. Before you were ever even a twinkle in your parents' eye, he knew you. Now, Psalm 139, David talks about how well God knows us. And let me read this to you. If you want to look at this, go ahead and turn to Psalm 139. I'm going to read quite a few of these, quite a bit of this chapter today. Not the whole thing, but a good portion of it. And I really want you to let this sink in, that God knows you. Psalm 139, starting in verse 1, it says, O Lord, you have examined my heart and know everything about me. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my... Think about how detailed that is. You know when I sit down, they say sitting is the new smoking. Some of us need to stand up more, me included. But you know when I sit down and you know when I stand up. You know my thoughts even when I'm far away. Do you think about that for a statement? I wish I could just tear each one of these apart just a little bit more. I don't have time, but just think about that. When you feel like you're far away from God, God still knows you. He knows you. You know when I sit down, when I stand up. You know my thoughts, even when I'm far away. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know what I'm going to say even before I say it, Lord. You go before me and follow me. Think about that statement. You go before me and follow me. God was there before you got there, and he followed you afterwards. You place your hand of blessing on my head. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to understand. Verse 13, skip down. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. Now get this. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God? Let that sink in. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God? They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of the sand. And when I wake up, you are still with me. God knows you. He has known you your whole life. He knew about you before you were even born. Before you were born, he knew you. His thoughts for you outnumber the grains of sand. And his thoughts for you are precious. When God thinks about you, God knows you, and when he thinks about you, you need to understand you are really on his mind. His thoughts about you outnumber the grains of sand, and his thoughts about you are precious. His thoughts are precious. Jeremiah 29:11, very familiar verse, it says, For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Some of you may question, does God really know me? Well, the answer here is very clear, and this is all throughout Scripture. These are just a few passages, but all throughout Scripture, the answer is yes, God knows who you are. You may say, yeah, but is he thinking about me? Maybe he knows who I am, but is he really thinking about me? Again, yes, his thoughts towards you outnumber the grains of sand. You are on his mind all the time. Okay, God knows me. He's thinking about me. But what does he think about me? Is he thinking about my sin? Is he thinking about the evil I've done, the darkness in my life? No. His thoughts for you are precious. To give us hope, to give us a future. He's not thinking about the bad things. Listen, I've raised two daughters. One of them's here. One of them's in our children's ministry right now. And yeah, sometimes they mess up. Sometimes they make mistakes. But I'm not thinking about that as a father. I'm thinking about how much I love them, how precious they are. I want them to have hope. I want them to have peace. I want them to have joy. I want them to have a good future. And that's the way God thinks about his children. That's the way he thinks about you. Yes, he knows you. He's thinking about you all the time. And his thoughts towards you are precious. This is good. Somebody get happy today. We're talking about, it's Christmas time. It's okay to, anyway. All right. God knows you. And here's this. John 10, verse 14, if you want to turn there, I ask you to hold your place there. One verse, though, from this passage, and it's verse 14, it says, I am the good shepherd, Jesus said, and I know my sheep, and I am known by my own. God knows you. The question is, do you really know him? Number two, you can. You can know God. God knows you. You can know him. God knows you, and you can truly know him, have a relationship with him. In other words, not like knowing, having met a famous person or knowing about a famous person. You may know about these people. You may know who they are. You may have even met them, but you don't really know them. But in this case, you can really know God. You can have a relationship with him. We can all have a, and that's what he wants. He wants to have a relationship with you. If you are always on his mind, if he knows you and you are always on his mind and he's thinking about you and his thoughts about you are good, his thoughts are about you are to give you a hope and a future, his thoughts about you are precious. Listen to me today. He wants you to know him as well. You can know God. You can have a real ongoing relationship with God. But maybe you've met him on several occasions. Have you ever known somebody who they say they're a Christian, they've maybe come down, they've prayed a prayer, but it's like they walk away and nothing ever changes in their life. Nothing happens in their life. How many of you have known somebody like that before? Come on. It's like there's no ongoing relationship with God. It's just like meeting a famous person at that point. It's like, well, I've met Jesus. I know who he is. I know about him. But I don't really know him personally to the place to where we have a real relationship. And it hasn't really impacted or changed my life. That's what Jesus said is the most important thing. In John 17, 3, in fact, I didn't put this on the screen, but it's one of my life verses. Jesus is praying a prayer, and he said, this is eternal life, that they may know God and Jesus whom God has sent. Not just know about, but to know. That's true salvation. That's true eternal life. That's true abundant life. He wants to come and live right there with you. He wants to live right in the middle of your life. But the problem is, there's a lot of people, it's one of the saddest truths, they know about God, they may have even met him, but they walk away and they continue to live their lives as if it never happened. As if he wasn't real. They never enter into that relationship with him. And the reason this is sad is because it keeps people from living the abundant life, the better life, and the blessed life that God wants them to have. We're not just talking about a famous person. We're talking about God, the creator of the universe, wants to come in and build a relationship with you, wants you to know him personally, wants to speak to you and you hear him, wants you to understand his goodness and his plan for your life, and he wants to come in and live right in the middle of your situation. And it's a sad thing. I used to kind of read this, and it almost sounds a little bit sad, but it's Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20. Jesus again is talking, and it says, here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. I will come in. I stand at the door and knock, and I can just picture him. He's coming right down into your life. He's coming right to your house. He's standing at your door. He's knocking. Now see if this sounds familiar, because this is how it often happens in my house. All right. Making some of you nervous today because I'm coming down here among you. All right. But listen. If this is how it often happens in my house, you're just sitting down for dinner, you're home for the evening, or maybe you're about to watch a TV or something, Cowboys or something, and all of a sudden there's a knock at the door. Now, back when I was a kid, when there was a knock at the door growing up, it was kind of like, hey, we got company, come on in. Something has changed in a generation. Because now when there's a knock at the door, don't anybody move. Don't move. Don't say, don't make a sound. Don't make a noise. Who is it? Who? What have we forgotten? Was somebody supposed to come over? Did we have a counseling appointment we forgot about? Is there a meeting? What's going on? What's happening? Who is it? Who could? It could be Jehovah's Witness. Just be quiet. Maybe they'll go away. Just make them think we're not home. Come on. How many of you honest can relate? You've been there. You've been there. And you sneak over. And you just kind of look through the keyhole or the blind. Oh, it's Amazon. They're delivering a package. Okay, we're safe. You know? Jesus is knocking at the door. And we're like, but my house is a mess. I need to clean some of this up before I let him in. Or maybe I don't feel like cleaning this up. He's going to come in here. He's going to start rearranging. God just does not understand healthy boundaries. I'm not sure I want him in my house. That's sad. That's where a lot of people are. It's like either I'm ashamed because my house is a mess, or maybe I don't want to change. I don't want him to come in and start helping me. But the sad part is it's like we're avoiding it, and he's there to bring gifts into our life. He's there to bring that joy that we need. We sing about it this time of year, that comfort and joy, that peace that passes understanding. He's there to bring those things into our life. Yes, he wants to help clean up some of our mess. Yes, he's there, but he wants to come in and help. He wants to help clean up some of that mess in our life, but at the same time, he doesn't come in because he's like, we went and saw Mary Poppins. How many of you have seen that? He doesn't come in necessarily like Mary Poppins and just start barking orders, okay? He comes in gentle. He is firm, but he can be gentle. And he really does. He wants to help clean up that mess, but he wants to bring something into your life that's missing. But here's the deal. He wants to develop that kind of a relationship with you that's real. That it's not something that is distant. It's not something that's way out there. It's not something that's casual. It's this whole series, I've been saying this over and over again. He does not want a shallow relationship with you at best. He wants to go deep. He wants to come in and live right where you're at. To reside. To abide. That's what it means to abide in him. And he in us. He wants to live right in the middle of our life. This is true Christianity. Because Jesus said, this is eternal life. That you know him, not just know about him. Not just have an introduction that doesn't really change your life. But that he comes in and you know him and he knows you. And he changes you from the inside out. This is a sad thing when people walk away. Not only because we're keeping the door closed to the gifts that he wants to bring, the gift of a relationship with him that he wants to bring into your life. But another reason that it is sad is Matthew 1:23. It's an incredible gift that he is offering. And it all happens because we talk about it usually just this time of year. Matthew 1:23 says, "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. The reason it's sad that so many people don't take advantage of this relationship and really truly get to know God is not only because they're missing out on the gifts that he brings into their life, but it's because it breaks God's heart that he paid such an ultimate price. The word Emmanuel, that's the song that Amy Grant was just singing a minute ago, and it means God with us. And just like me coming down from this platform in being among you, Jesus, even more so, he left his throne in heaven and he put on mortal flesh. He became one of us and he came down and lived among us. And he gave his life at the cross of Calvary. And the reason he had to was because our sin had separated us from this kind of a relationship with God. And the penalty for that sin, the Bible says, is death. And Jesus said, I want to have relationship with them so badly, I'm going to become one of them. I'm going to pay the penalty for their sin so that there can be a reunion and we can have relationship with God once again. I can know them. They can know me. That's what Jesus did. And when people reject that, it's so sad because they're rejecting the greatest gift ever given at Christmas time, when Jesus gave himself. He came to live. And hear this today. He came down here to become one of us and to live among us. But that hasn't changed. He said, yes, I'm leaving, but I'm not really leaving because I'm going to send my Spirit and I will be with you always. You can have this relationship with Him even now because of what He did at Calvary's cross. Number one, God knows you. Number two, you can know God because of what Jesus has done. But the question of this whole sermon title is, do you hear what I hear? I'm sorry, do you know what I know? And I want to ask you if you know what I know today, because some people will say, why would I want to have a relationship with this person? Why would I want to have a relationship with Jesus? Why would I want to have a relationship with God? Let me tell you what I know about God today. I know, number three, He's good. I mean, there's so many other things I can say about Him. In fact, tomorrow night, I was told. Is it tomorrow night? Tomorrow night, I'm going to be talking about some of the other names. I'll give you a hint. Andy talked about it just earlier during the worship service. But He is called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Those are some of the things that are good about Him, but He's good. He's good. Why would you want to get to know Him? Why would you want a relationship with this God? The reason is because the gifts that He brings into our lives, the gift of Himself, is so good. Throughout my life, the challenges that I have faced, and there have been a few, the one thing that has sustained me is my faith in the goodness of God. Yeah. Story after story I could share. My wife shares a story as well. When there's challenges that we face, the one thing, if we didn't have anything else to hold on to, anything else to anchor our soul, this one thing we remember. God, what do I know about You? I know You're good. And whatever it is I'm facing, the loneliness, the heartache, the challenge, the struggle, whatever it is, God, I know You're good. And when I invite You into this, if I keep You away from the struggle, if I keep You away, if I keep You outside knocking at the door, I don't receive the blessing of the goodness that You bring into that relationship. But when I say yes to You, when I say yes to this relationship and continue to build this relationship, He brings that goodness in. And I wrote this down because I didn't want to forget it. He brings comfort to the chaos, peace to the problems, hope to the helpless, and joy to the junk. He's good. God is good. A relationship with Him is possible because of Jesus. And He already knows you and He still loves you. Over and over again, we see this in Scripture. God knows us. He loves us. Before we first were saved, before we even started getting our life right, He still loves us. He knows everything about you and He still loves you. So the question is, do you know what I know today? Do you know Him? You can know God today. You can know Him. I know this is kind of for some of you, I'm preaching to the choir. There may be some of you in here today, you don't really have a relationship with Him. or you don't have a relationship like this. Maybe you've been introduced to him. Maybe you just know about him. But if you're truly being honest in your heart of hearts, has he come to live in your life? Or is he still standing at the door and knocking? Has he become Emmanuel and come and lived among you, within you? Do you know about him, or do you truly know him? I want to pray for you today. Just no one looking around for just a minute. Father, I thank you so much. You didn't leave us here orphans. You've sent your Spirit, and your Spirit is here even among us right now. Your Holy Spirit is here. God, I'm asking you today to draw people wherever they're at right now into a deeper relationship with you. And I'm not going to embarrass anybody today. I'm not here to hurt you. But I want to ask you, as I asked that question a minute ago, do you really know him or do you just know about him? Do you really have a relationship with him? Is he living in your life? Or have you left him kind of standing out there knocking? Some of you in here today, you say, yes, I may have met him, or I just know about him, but I don't really know him. But I want to today. I'm not going to embarrass you. Please hear me today. I'm not going to call you out. I just want to know if I'm talking to anybody here this morning. You say, I need to get to know him. I need a relationship with him. I need that relationship to move to a different level. I want to know him today. If that's you here, would you raise your hand? All across this room. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. You can put your hand down. I want to ask one more question today. Some of you in here today say, I just need this relationship to go to another level. Yes, I know him. But I know that as this year ends and the next year is approaching, I need to start off with a different level of relationship with God. I need this to go deeper. I need to invite him in. Yeah, he might want to rearrange. Yeah, he might want to clean up some stuff. But I need what he brings. I need his goodness in my life. If that's you today, you say, I just need to go deeper this year. Could I pray for you as well? Would you raise your hand today? Thank you. A lot of hands going up. Father, you have seen the hands because you see us. Lord, you hear us, and that's why I'm praying today. But God, you also know us. Lord, you know everything about us. And yet you still love us. You're the one person who knows everything, inside and out. And yet, Lord, you still love us. What a blessing. What a testimony to how good you really are. Father, I pray for these today who have raised their hands. I pray, Father, that you, as you convict their hearts, Lord, that they will go to the door. They will open. And they will invite you into their life. And God, there may be some things there that we feel a little bit ashamed of right at first. God, you're not there to bring shame or condemnation. You're there to bring healing and restoration. You're there to bring hope, peace, comfort, and joy. Father, I pray that we will all go deeper in our relationship with you. And Lord, for those who maybe have never really had a relationship with you, I just ask, Lord, that you will come in and touch them right where they're at right now and let them know that this wasn't a pastor speaking. This was you speaking directly to them today. That you want a real relationship with them. I want everybody here today just to pray this prayer after me. And I say that to do that because I know there's some people here who need to pray this prayer today, maybe for the first time. And I don't want them to feel somehow self-conscious to pray out loud by themselves. And so let's all join in this prayer today. Say, Jesus, I confess you are Lord, and I need you in my life. Forgive me of my sin. I open the door today to a new relationship with you. And I ask you to come in, live in my life, and take over because you're good and I trust you. In Jesus' name, amen.